The following program is brought to you by the Kokomo Christian Fellowship, and I'm Pastor Schulze.
Good morning. The following program is brought to you by the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. I'm Pastor Schulze. Heavenly Father, we pray for thy divine anointing on thy precious word today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Our text is from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. My friend, there are few declarations in the Bible that rise as high as this wonderful text. If the greatest biblical text were to be compared to mountains, this text would be a Mount Everest, or a Kilimanjaro, or a Mont Blanc, or Mount McKinley. Or if the greatest biblical texts were to be compared to rivers, this could be a Mississippi, a Rhine River, or a Volga, or the Amazon. No preacher in the world can possibly do justice to this scripture. No preacher can possibly find its depth, its breadth, and its heights. For unto us a child is born. Notice first of all the word for. The word for indicates that there is a background against which these truths must be considered. Some of the background is given in the preceding verses, where Isaiah alludes to dimness and darkness, where he alludes to, as we notice in verse 5, to an increase of people in a nation without an increase of joy. You see, since the fall of man in the garden, darkness, dimness, and the absence of joy have been the marks of most of human history. But, thank God, Isaiah here wrote the highest hymn yet ever sung since the fall of Adam, and Frederick Handel put the music to that in his greatest musical composition called The Messiah. For unto us a child is born. We have reason to rejoice, for the darkness, the dimness, the sadness, the depression of sin is gone in our lives because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Then let us consider the next two words of this great text. That is, unto us. Notice this great act of God, this great birth of his great child is personalized to all who seek a personal God, a personal Savior. Friend, if you want him, he will take you. For Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, let us hurry on to the next word of this text, and that is the word child. For unto us a child is born. I want you to know in just a few words here, God has done more for children than all the charitable agencies and institutions of the world together. You see, the history of children is a sad chapter indeed. In the days of old, children were sacrificed to pagan gods. Brothers and sisters had to watch their siblings being burned alive. In days of old, and yet to an extent even today, children have been treated like slaves. They've been bought and sold. They've been made to work in coal mines and in factory sweatshops. They've been pushed around or pushed aside or pushed down. Children, by many, have been considered as time wasters and energy wasters. In many places, children deserve nothing but the backseat in every circumstance of life. And so it was in the days of Jesus, because we read in Matthew, the 19th chapter, I quote, "Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them," unquote. Yes, even in the days of Jesus, children were pushed aside, even by the very apostles of God. Jesus responded, "Permit, little children, to come to me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them, that is, he blessed them. Yes, indeed, God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, did more to emancipate children than anyone. And dear ones, the children have not been pushed aside then. Sometimes they have been made gods coming between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's not good either. Oh, how we need the Lord's help to properly view children and to treat them even as the Lord would have us do. So the coming of this great Savior of mankind is announced by Isaiah with a string of names, of things he symbolizes, of things the Savior is all about. And the first one in the sequence is, "For unto us is born a child, and the government shall be upon his shoulders." It tells us the government of God would rest upon the shoulders of a child, and this child would be wonderful. This child would be a counselor. This child would be the mighty God. This child would be as the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. "For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God." Oh, have you ever heard of such a thing? A child already declared to be a governor while it is still young? Yes, indeed, God's kingdom begins with God lifting up a child, causing us to ponder the spirit of a child. If we don't understand children, we don't understand the kingdom of God. If we don't understand children, if we don't become like little children ourselves, we know nothing of Christianity. To God, a child does not become great when he grows up to be a doctor or a lawyer. To God, a child is great in its early years of life by virtue of its trusting and depending on mother and father, by virtue of its innocent spirit. For unto us a child is born. Jesus came as a child. And the greatness of our Lord is that he never ceased being a child in spirit. For he himself said, "Whosoever shall humble themselves as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Well, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? But Jesus himself. And that means Jesus is the most like a little child. For it is in a sense of humility that Jesus never left his childhood. It is in a sense of utter dependence on his Father that Jesus never left his childhood. It is in the sense of his prayer life, coming to his Father for everything, that Jesus never left his childhood. It is in the sense of Jesus never, quote, growing up, unquote. Oh, my friend, to become independent of his Father, to make his own choices, that he always remained with a childlike spirit. These are but some reasons why Jesus is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. It is for these reasons that God the Father could place his government upon his shoulders. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, the child's shoulders. So, what Christianity is in its exception, it is also in its continuance. God's government upon his shoulder, the shoulders of the child, shall ever increase. Isn't it true that the Bible teaches us that we are born again as children? The moment we receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, we are called children of God. And we remain children of God forever. Isn't this the reason why the Apostle John writes in his beautiful epistle, quote, "My little children, these things write I unto you," unquote. Isn't this the reason why Jesus says, quote, "Unless you are converted and become like little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven," unquote. Oh, the government of God placed upon a child. Any ministry with the anointing of God will never rest on anyone but that person is a child in humility, in utter dependence, and in innocence under the authority of God. Now, let us consider the word wonderful. Jesus the Christ was wonderful in prophecy, wonderful in the incarnation, wonderful at his birth. Wonderful it was how the angels sang, how the shepherds came, and how the wise men presented gifts. Everything about the Christ child was wonderful, so wonderful that the birth of the Savior puts a twinkle in every child's eye, a smile on every child's face, or a tear of joy on every child's cheek. Nothing delights a child more in all the world than Christmas and its wonderful story of the child coming into the world. His name shall be called Wonderful. Again, he was wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful as he taught in the temple. He was wonderful as he preached in the fields, in the synagogues, and by the seashores. He was wonderful when he healed the sick, cast out devils, shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. He was wonderful in the way he rose from the dead on Easter morning as an angel said upon the stone that was rolled away. He was wonderful in his ascension to heaven, and he's wonderful in his intercession on our behalf. His name shall be called Wonderful. And then it says, Counselor. My friend, if you're a Christian, you have a counselor with a capital C, the counselor of all counselors, living in your heart. He's the best psychiatrist, psychologist, teacher, advisor, instructor you can possibly have, who knows all things of the past, the future, and the present, to whom nothing is hid. Oh, yes, the child's name is Wonderful in Counselor, but it is also that his name is the Mighty God. And what is the dominant attribute of the phrase Mighty God but power itself, sheer power? And power is what we need because the world is filled with devils. Power is what we need because of the strength of the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of man. Power is what we need because sickness and death and persecution and hate and jealousy and greed and selfishness and resentment. Yes, the child's name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And we have this beautiful name, Everlasting Father. Jesus is the Father of all. Paul says, in him all things consist, and all things were begotten of him. Everlasting Father, yes, that tells me of security. A security, dear friend, is not in some doctrine. It is in the relationship that you and I have with the Father. Yes, this child shall also be called the Prince of Peace. A capital P in Prince and a capital P for peace. Only God through Christ can give peace, real peace. If we want peace, we need him. We can only get it through Jesus. There is no other way. Well, can you see our time's up? And do you notice that we have not even scratched the surface of this great, tremendous scripture of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? So, my friend, let us pray and let us labor that all those who don't know him will come to know him and the beauty and glory and simplicity and humility and holiness as we see him in this great text today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Called Obedience Ministry. And today I also would like to welcome you to our church service, which is going to be at 10 o'clock this morning at the Kokomo Christian Fellowship at 3215 Judson Road in Kokomo. Thank you for listening. Goodbye now until next week.